Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. Here on the House of Israel of Cincinnati, live broadcast. Nothing But the Truth, and Morey Isha Yisrael from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. And shalom to everyone that is tuned in to our broadcast, for we know the only reason you have tuned in is because of your great fear in love toward the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the only healer. And this is what we're discussing today. Health and wellness questions. If you have any questions at all, we've been dealing with health and wellness over the past week, and we've been getting a lot of good feedback from these teachings. And so we're opening up the floor today to see if you have any questions on health and wellness according to Yahweh. And remember, if you have questions about health and wellness according to Yahweh, it just don't have to be about what do you do about a runny nose. Because the Most High is the best holistic teacher that you will find. The Creator shows you how to become healthy and well in all areas of your life. Not just by taking an herb or drinking an elixir, but Yahweh shows you how you can become healthy in all areas of life. So if you have any questions on health and wellness, I prefer you type them in YouTube, on our YouTube live chat line. And we can look at your questions and answer them. You can also go on our Facebook, and you can also text me at 513-237-5911. And you can get your questions answered. That's 532-375-911. But your best and most convenient way to get your questions discussed is if you go to our YouTube live chat line. But the Most High lets us know that you don't just have to get healthy from herbs and food. Yahweh has a large spectrum of methods to become healed. If you go to the book of 2 Kings, the fourth chapter, or the fifth chapter, in the first verse, it reads, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him Yahweh had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper," meaning he was white. "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would Elohim, my master, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to, go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I Elohim to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of Elohim, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. What does that mean? That Yahweh was going to show the world, show everyone, show whoever took notes that, look, there is somebody sent by the Creator that can heal. And Elisha, so verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to meet me and stand and call on the name of Yah, his Elohim, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. See, this man didn't know the ways of the Creator. He thought that because his rivers were bigger and shinier, whatever they were, compared to the River Jordan, oh no, you can't be asking me to just dip in the water 7 times. He was supposed to come out here and do a dance, clap his hands, call on Yah loudly, like they be doing in the Christian churches. This is what he wanted. But what did Naaman's servants say? And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest not thou have done it? How much rather then, when he saved thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of Elohim. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of Elohim and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no Elohim in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of the servant. But he said, As Yah liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither offering nor sacrifice unto other Elohim, but unto Yah. In this thing Yahweh pardon thy servant, that when thy master goeth into the house of the deity to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of the deity, when I bow down myself in the house of that deity, Yahweh pardon thy servant in this thing. Then he said to him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. So Naaman was healed just by dipping in the Jordan 7 times, healed of his affliction, of his leprosy that afflicted his skin. And that means what? He didn't need to take an herb He didn't need to eat a special fruit. He just needed to follow the instructions of Yahweh's prophet. This is what healed him, following the word of Yah. Also, the Creator let us know this. And then I'm going to see about our questions. In the book of Psalms 41, verse 1 reads, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Yahweh will deliver him in the time of trouble. Yahweh will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Yahweh will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I say, Yahweh, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I sinned against thee." You see, the scriptures just let us know that even when you're in trouble, if you consider the poor, if you draw your soul out to the poor and keep not your hand back from the poor, that you will be delivered even in the time of trouble. Even when you're on that bed, languishing, keeling over, and hurting and sick from what? Your sins. Yahweh will strengthen you. Yahweh will make your bed in sickness. You will be delivered from even your sickness by doing what? Considering the poor. So you don't only need to focus on what am I eating? What am I drinking? But what am I, how many push-ups am I doing? But you need to consider the poor. Look at what the Creator told you about considering the poor. You'll be delivered even in the time of trouble. So if you're doing what Yahweh said about considering the poor, you're giving yourself an investment in your health and wellness. If you want to be healed, if you want Yahweh to consider you, then you must consider the poor. One more scripture in the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter. Daniel 4, verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree upon of the Most High, which has come upon my master, the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee in the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure to thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off your sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. This is how you extend even your tranquility. This is how You break off your sins. This is how you show mercy, by giving to the poor. This will heal you. This will give you health. This will bring you wellness, tranquility. Do we have any questions? Go ahead. Hallelujah.
First question is, many Israelites say that cannabis is an herb that we can smoke for wellness, anxiety, insomnia, and other ailments. Does it have beneficial properties, and is it wise to smoke it?
Praise the mighty Yah. Yeah, many of our people have been tricked by the heathen to believe that smoking anything can do something good for you. And let me show you what fire does to things. If you go to the book of Malachi, 4th chapter, verse 1 reads, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as cast off the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahweh of hosts." Fire turns things to ash. Let me show you another scripture. In Isaiah 66, verse 15. "For behold, Yahweh will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire." Fire is, you don't want to smoke anything. Anything. Fire burns things. It turns it into ash. That's what fire does. When you burnt the sacrifice on the altar, it turned it into ash. A whole burnt offering was to be consumed by the fire. Look what the fire did in the book of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Fire in 1 Kings 18 it says in verse 33, "And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces," a whole bullock, "and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the sacrifice and on the wood." So it was filled, soaking with water. And he said, "Do it again the second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it again the third time." And they did it a third time. And the water ran down about the altar and filled the trench also with water. This is a lot of water. And it came to pass that at the time of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, "Yahweh Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak and Yisrael, let it be known this day that thou art Elohim in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Yahweh, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Yahweh Elohim, and thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Fire just consumes things. All that is left, smoke. Yahweh had his fire burn on top of the mountain. All that was left is smoke. So smoking anything turns it to ash. The smoke that comes from this thing only pollutes you. So I don't care what herb it is. But of course, our people have been tricked to smoke marijuana, an herb. And what did Yahweh say he gave all the green things for? In Genesis 1 and 29, the Creator let us know, and Elohim said, behold, I have given every green herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, for food. You shall eat this, not smoke it. Yahweh never had you smoke anything. Maury Alicia used to say, if Yahweh wanted you to smoke something, he would have put a hole at the top of your head so the smoke can rise, because that's what it does. Smoking anything is bad for you. When you smoke, you replace Yah's breath with the smoke. It's bad for you. As it was taught last week about blood and the life in the blood, if you smoke, you are putting smoke in your life. You're fogging it with this smoke. The minor health benefits that you receive from smoking the marijuana is nowhere compared to the benefits you would get if you ate it. Like it was taught the other day about seed and oil. If you use the oil from the cannabis, the health benefits are astounding. But smoking anything is bad for you. Fire turns things into ash, which is nothing but waste. So once you smoke, you're being wasteful. You're wasting a perfectly good herb, any one of them. So we don't smoke cannabis. Yahweh has no precedent for his people smoking cannabis in the scriptures. Using herbs to eat, to drink, and to use for oil is all throughout the scriptures. Smoking is not. So smoking just messes you up. It's unhealthy.
Next question. Is there a specific herb to balance blood pressure?
Is there a specific herb to balance blood pressure? And this is what Yahweh gave us to balance blood pressure. What is blood pressure? When you have a blood pressure issue, many people are suffering from high blood pressure. And why do you have high blood pressure? Many people have high blood pressure because their arteries and veins are not allowing the blood to circulate in a proper way, meaning the highways and byways by which your blood is traveling is being constricted. And now your blood is pumping at a rate that creates high blood pressure. Imagine you turn on the water hose and you put your foot on the hose. And what happens? That water builds up, the pressure builds up on the one side of the hose. It builds up. As soon as you let go, it spurts out real fast. So you got this high blood pressure because the highways and byways, your veins and arteries are not having good flow. And why is that? There's many reasons to why you have constricted arteries and veins, but I'll tell you what Yahweh said is going on. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. In Deuteronomy chapter 28. Okay. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 35, it says, Yahweh shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of your head, which is what? The sore botch, or in some of your scriptures it say with boils, is inflammation. Inflammation all throughout your body. And where is this inflammation mostly at? In your arteries and in your veins. And why is it inflamed? Because you're eating polluted things. You know what else gives you inflammation? Stress. Stress will give you inflammation. And why are we stressed? And why are we eating things that are polluted? Because we reject the word of Yahweh. So in order to find the right herb for blood pressure, first know the source to your blood pressure issue, which is stress, bad eating, bad lifestyle, and then what do you do to balance out this blood pressure? It's in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. Verse 29. And Yahweh Elohim said, behold, I have given you every green, every herb-bearing seed, in which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is in the fruit, which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So we got to eat these herbs, not just a particular herb, but we got to eat herbs and we got to eat fruit. We got to stop eating so much fat and oil and grease. No, you're supposed to eat fruit and herbs. Fruit and herbs should be your main courses. And then you can start getting into what particular herb. But one of the best herbs is just get you some cayenne pepper. It's a very good herb. But we have to eat the herbs. But we got to know the source and the reason why we got high blood pressure or low blood pressure or anemia. There's a lot of blood sicknesses we have, and it's because of this inflammation, this sore botch, that comes from being filled with iniquity. Food iniquity, stress iniquity, not keeping the law iniquity. And then we deal with that, and then we eat the right foods, and your blood pressure will go away. Your high blood pressure. Yes, sir.
What herbs should we use? Help cleanse our blood.
It's the same answer. Every green herb that will cleanse your blood, we think the Most High gave it to us for. But if you want a particular herb, there's all kind of herbs you can use to cleanse your blood. But why is our blood dirty? See, this is the truth about health and wellness. You can use dandelion to cleanse your blood. You can use an herb called bitter melon. You can use, which is actually a leaf of a tree. You can use moringa to cleanse your blood, but in Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 16, it says, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. That's how you cleanse your blood. The herb, look, I done seen people take herbs all day and they still sick. Yahweh wants you to be holistic with it. You can take moringa and cleanse your blood. You can take bitter melon and cleanse your blood. You can take cayenne pepper and burdock root and dandelion and all these herbs you can take. You can take black seed oil. You can take oregano oil. You can take all kind of various herbs to cleanse your blood. But Yahweh told you to wash up. How do you wash up? By stop defiling yourself. Water can cleanse your blood. But if you continue to put yourself amongst the defilement, your blood ain't going to get clean. In Psalms 1, here's another health tip. Psalms 1. This is how you cleanse your blood. In Psalms 1. Blessed, in the first verse, is man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. Don't you know? If you go and get counsel from the wicked, they're not going to give you the right counsel to keep yourself holy. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, meaning you don't go to these ungodly doctors and ask them to heal your blood and cleanse your blood. These people aren't going to give you anything to cleanse your blood. The medications that the doctors prescribe for you are all bad. Every last one of them. Because the medications that doctors prescribe you are poison. The way that they come up with their medications is a matter of poison. Medicine is a word that means poison. What the doctors do with these medications is they take something natural, but what they take most of the time is a poison. Years and years ago, a European discovered that he could use a poison to make your body start to heal itself. And he said, if I just give you a little bit of this poison, your body will try to heal itself. It's called homeopathic medicine. Well, allopathic medicine, your medical doctors, they do the same thing, but they take even more dangerous poisons, and they just use it to suppress your symptoms. They're not trying to heal you. They're not even trying to have your body heal itself. They're just trying to shut off certain signals to your brain, as they say, that will stop you from feeling pain while this medicine continues to defile your blood. And if it's defiling your blood, it's defiling your life. And that means you're unholy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So you can't be around all these types. Doctors that are promoting poison for your healing when you don't get healed at all. But to clean your blood, we got to step away from the wickedness. Any other questions?
Some people believe that grown men was marrying young girls. But is a young woman of marrying age because she gets a cycle? What age, according to scripture, shows what is an appropriate age for her to marry?
This is a good question, because some people might not think that deals with health and wellness, but it does. What's the appropriate age for a woman to be married? There has to be an appropriate age for a man and woman to be married. Yahweh said this in the book of Genesis, the second chapter. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 reads, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man," not a boy, "leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife." And the word wife means woman, not a girl. "And they shall be one flesh." This is what, this is the foundation of marriage there. And why? Because it's not good for man to be alone. If it's not good for man to be alone, then a man or woman is not well or strong if they're alone. They're weak and they're incomplete. So you want to know when's a good time, a good age to be married. What's when is a man even a man? Look at here. In the book of Deuteronomy. Now, where did woman come from? Out of man. Woman is just the female version of a man. Yahweh said in Genesis 5 and 3, "And Adam had a son after his image and after his likeness, and Yahweh called them man." Adam. He said, and their name was Adam. Male and female made he them, and he called them Adam. Meaning what? Male and female are called Adam. Adam is the title that Yahweh gave mankind, as we call it today. Adam. So what is the standard age for Adam to be an adult? You don't believe what I'm saying? Just look at the scripture. Genesis, the fifth chapter. See, this is how we prove things. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And this is Genesis, the fifth chapter. This is the book of the first verse. "This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that Elohim created man, in the likeness of Elohim made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that they were created." See, Adam is who they are. Adam is who we are. Man is called Adam, male and female. So there's not going to be a different age for the man to be a grown person and the woman to be a grown person. They're not going to have two different ages. Like the heathens, they say, oh, a female is a woman when she comes on her cycle. Now she's in womanhood. No, you're just experiencing things that a female experiences. You're a woman when Yahweh say you a woman. You're a man when Yahweh say you a man. And there's an age that Yahweh said, now you an adult. You are responsible. You can do something that I won't let a boy do or a girl do because you're age now that you can handle yourself. And what is that age? What is that age? If you go to the book is Numbers 1 and 1? Numbers, the first chapter. We're going to start reading in Numbers, the first chapter, the first verse, and it reads, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they will come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, by which the number of their names, every male by their poles, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. And why is that important? Because look what Yahweh said. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies, and with you there shall be a man of every child, every one head of the house of his fathers. These are the names of the men that shall stand with you. These are men. And how old did they have to be? 20. That, look, you can't send a boy out for war. A boy can't handle himself. The only boy that you could see that handled himself was the boy that had the spirit of Yahweh on him. And that was King David. And they had to give him armor for a man. He said, man, I can't wear this. I haven't even proven. I'm not even grown. I can't put this armor on. A boy can't wear man's armor. A boy can't walk in man's shoes. A boy can't handle himself in a war. That's what a man does. And how old was this man? 20? How old is the woman going to be? 20? Why? Because they're Adam. Male and female made he them and called their name Adam. She ain't a woman when she's 12. She ain't a woman when she's 11. She ain't a woman when she's 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Only age that you see any son of Adam being referred to as somebody that could take care of himself is 20. 20 and up. He didn't say 21, y'all say 20. That's when you grown. When you're 20 years old. And what is 20? It's the order of six. And what does that mean? That's the day that man and woman was created. You able to go out and do what? Look here. In the book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter. Exodus 23, verse 17. Three times a year shall all thy males appear before Yahweh Elohim. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of Yahweh Elohim. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. So what is he letting you know? Three times a year you shall bring an offering before Yah. Look in verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee in the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. In the feast of harvest of the first fruits of thy labors, thou hast sown in the field. In the feast of ingathering, which is at the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors of the field. Three times in the year shall all males appear before me. They shall not come empty. How old do you think this man got to be? 20 years old, because he's a man. because he could bring forth his offering. He could bring forth this blessing now because he's a man, because he's 20 years old. He could go out to war. And what you think, Yahweh is just going to have a woman? You a 20-year-old man, you a 30-year-old man, you a 40-year-old man, you a 50-year-old man, and you going to marry a 12-year-old? You going to marry a 13-year-old? You going to marry a 17-year-old? Somebody that's a girl that can't even walk in a woman's shoes? That ain't at the age in which Yahweh deems you to be grown up? But you going to marry somebody like that? That is not Yah's ways. Nor is it healthy at all for the female. It's not healthy for the man because he's going against wisdom. It's not healthy for the female. You're going against wisdom. Plus, it's disgusting. Yahweh doesn't have us marrying little girls, women that are before the age of maturity. That's what the book of Jasher says. That's what the Hadiths let you know. That's what the Talmud tells you. You can, you know, have sexual relations with children. This is a bunch of foolishness. But Yahweh never gave you the indication, inclination, or any kind of idea that you could go and marry a little girl. That's straight foolishness. And disgusting, which makes it abominable, which makes it unhealthy. Any other questions?
Is there a specific herb to take to lessen the pain of a menstrual cycle?
Is there a specific herb to take to lessen the pain of a menstrual cycle? There are plenty of herbs you could take to lessen the pain of menstrual cycle. One of them is called cramp bark. Another one is called white willow bark. You can also take ginger. You can also do something that a lot of us don't want to do. Why do you have all these hard pains during your cycle, ladies? I'll show you why you have all these pains. If you go to the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter, in Numbers, the 11th chapter, in verse 4, or let's start the first verse. And when the people complained, it displeased Yahweh, and Yahweh heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of Yahweh burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed unto Yahweh, and the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of Yahweh burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melon and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as a coriander seed. The color of thereof was the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it into mills, or beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste was the taste of fresh oil. And what is the thing that they did do? They lusted after this flesh, and this flesh did something to them. And I'm going to expedite, and I'm going to show you what happened. When they got all this flesh, they finally got this flesh. It says in verse 18, and say thou unto the people, satisfy yourselves, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of Yahweh, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore Yahweh will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, but nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, and it shall be loathsome unto you because that ye have despised Yahweh, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we out forth of the land of Egypt? Now, what am I saying about your menstrual cramps? You eat too much meat. Look, when you eat meat every day, it causes a lot of mucus. And mucus causes buildup and backup. When you eat too much meat, it's going to give you more cramps, stronger cramps than you want. When you keep on going after your lust and ignore your health, you're going to have some cramps. Oh, what about if I'm a vegan? Maybe you're not eating the right herbs, meaning enough herbs, enough fruit. Because what is a menstrual cycle? It is the flow of your blood. So if it is cramping up in that manner and giving you that pain to where it's unbearable, something's wrong with your blood. And the first thing that's going to be wrong with your blood is it's defiled. And why is it defiled? Because you're doing something wrong. And what is the main thing we do wrong that we put in our bodies? We eat way too much flesh. If you eat meat every day, you will have a mucus buildup, and you'll have a cold all the time. And if you're a lady, it will increase your menstrual cramps. There's an herb that can strengthen a woman's womb. It's called red raspberry leaf. Just eat that. Drink it. And it'll strengthen your womb. And it'll help you with those menstrual cramps. But it's an herb. It's a leaf. And Yahweh wants us to eat those instead of so much meat. You eat meat every day, it's going to create mucus. It's going to come out your nostrils, like Yahweh said. Any other questions?
Is there a good prenatal herb or medicine to take?
Prenatals, which is, you know, something that somebody needs to take while they are pregnant with child. And what did our foremothers take? What did they eat when they were with child? Look here. Book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, the first chapter, it says in verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, and in mortar and in brick. And all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spoke unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the service of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared Elohim, did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men and children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and saved the men and children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore Elohim dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared Elohim, that he made them houses. And so what? These Hebrew women were lively. They're not like the Egyptians, and they're not like the Americans. Hebrew women shouldn't be. They, if you eat the way a Hebrew woman ate, then you'll be lively. Yahweh even lets you know in the book of Exodus, in the first chapter, it said, the more they oppress them, the more they multiply. Where is that at? Verse 12, it said, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. But what are the children of Israel eating? They were eating herbs and fruit. That's the main course. And the, what the heathen has done is they have stripped all the minerals and nutrients from food today, and now you got to go to them and get a vitamin and a pill that has minerals, especially when you're pregnant. You got to take a prenatal because the food you're eating is usually lacking minerals, the essential things that is in the dirt. Man was made from the earth. So what do you think a woman should be putting in her body when she's growing a baby inside her womb? Minerals. Things that come out of the earth, which is what? Herbs, fruit. Herbs and fruit. Herbs and fruit. And then you might not even need a prenatal. But as long as you need a prenatal, you want to get something that's vegan. You don't want these things that is fortified with meat and milk and soy and all this other stuff. Get something that's vegan. Get something that is natural and organic. Using real minerals and not fake synthetic minerals, as they use a lot. But if you ate the green herb and ate the fruit from the fruit tree more than you eat the flesh, you will be a pretty healthy person. So we have to understand Yahweh, his formula is real simple. That might be too simple for some folk. They want the magic herb. Look here. Read this the other day, but it's in the book of 2 Chronicles around the 2 Chronicles, King chapter 29. Let's see. He was sick. 2 Chronicles. Hezekiah was sick. If I can't find it in Chronicles, I'll find it in Isaiah. Let me look real quick. Well, look in the book of Isaiah, the 38th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 38, if you read in verse 20, it reads, Yahweh was ready to save me, therefore will we sing my songs to the string instruments all the days of our life in the house of Yah. For Isaiah has said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also said, what is the sign that I should go up to the house of Yah? So the herb, which was really leaves from a tree, the fig tree, healed Hezekiah's cancer. And you're going to find a lexicon of herbs in the scriptures that tell you what herb to use for what. Yahweh's more holistic than that. Yahweh told you in the beginning to eat the herbs and the fruit, to listen to his instructions. And then you can start learning about the different various herbs. But if you're eating bad, then you're not going to know what herbs to eat anyway. Look, here you have in the book of 1 Kings, in the fourth chapter, in verse 30, it says, and Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. But he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Alcol, and Darda, the sons of Mohol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spoke of 3,000 proverbs, and songs were 1,005. And he spoke of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard his wisdom. And that is how you get to know what herbs and fruit trees to take. You got to have wisdom. You got to have wisdom. Then you can start searching these things out, because it's the glory of kings to search out matter. But while you're seeing how Solomon knew about all these things, a lot of questions were asked about cleaning your blood. Look in Psalms 57, I believe, or 51. Psalms 51. Psalms 51. In verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And don't you know hyssop? It cleanses you. It cleanses you. People use it in their soap sometimes, but it could cleanse you internally. But it cleanses you. But you can find out about individual herbs throughout the scriptures, but there's not a lexicon that says, take dandelion for your liver. You can learn these things as you learn about Yah's plants, Yah's herbs, Yah's trees, Yah's fruit. As you continue to investigate them, then you'll learn about the various things you can do. But if you and I don't take heed to the foundation of the wisdom that Yahweh has given us, then it doesn't matter if you go and get you, go get you a whole bunch of herbs and leaves and fruits and oils and all these things, yet your health won't be restored. Any questions? In Isaiah, the 58th chapter, as we were talking earlier about drawing your soul out to the poor, in verse 6 of Isaiah 58, it says, is not this the fast I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that you shall bring the poor that are cast out of your house, out to your house? When you seeth the naked, that you cover him and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward. This is a great way to get healed, to draw out your soul unto the ones that need help, the poor, the fatherless, the widow. Go help them and watch your health break forth and shall spring forth speedily. But if you're oppressing the poor, how is Yahweh going to award you when you're not helping his people that are afflicted? A broken heart and a contrite spirit that Yahweh will not despise. But if we're lifted up and we're too good to help those that need it, then how are we going to get our health restored? You're not going to get your health restored. In Psalms 103, verse 1 says, "Bless Yahweh, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who giveth all thy iniquity, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles." How do you do that unless you say, or you do this? Verse 6, "Yahweh executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." That's what we're supposed to be doing, helping the oppressed. "But I'm oppressed." Well, then you should really want to help the oppressed if you're oppressed, because you know how it feels to be oppressed. "Surely oppression will make a wise man mad." Well, then, if you feel you have wisdom, if you feel you have understanding and knowledge and the tools, salvation, then help the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, the downtrodden, the needy, and your health will spring forth speedily. You can become healed just by healing others. Isn't that a beautiful repayment? I help heal you, Yahweh heal me. That's what you're here to do, to bless Yahweh's people. If you bless Israel, you shall be blessed. But if you curse Israel, you shall be cursed. And we could bless our people just by drawing out our soul. And that will bring forth our light and our health. Any last questions before we adjourn? So if there's no other questions, praise the mighty God. I appreciate all the questions that were brought forth. They were very good questions for health and wellness. And I hope that you received the word of the Most High as was delivered. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Hi. Yes. Tribe Entertainment. Yahweh with me.
of many kings. God's name is gone. We are the mighty Yehudim. Lions of Yah, praise Yah with me.
The righteous,
Yah.
The holy,
Yah.
The creator,
Yah.
The only.
The righteous,
yeah.
The holy,
yeah.
The creator,
yeah.
The only,
yeah.
He is our king, our savior, and our judge, Yahweh is righteous. He is our king, our savior, and our judge, Yahweh is righteous.
It's gonna be a new day.
Slaving on the job, slaving on the block, slaving in the jail.